Blog Talk Radio.
Go With Angels is more than the title of Mary Brotherton's debut book. It's her wish for you and your loved ones. Join her on her podcast every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time as she talks about angels and messengers from the spirit world. Of course, she'll talk about her book and the inspiration behind it, too. Call 516-418-5651 after 11 on Friday mornings to share your stories about angelic encounters.
Good morning, everybody. I have got a treat for you. Well, actually, it's a treat for me, but you can participate in my treat. I have a scientist with us today, and he always tells me that he can tell you the science behind the woo-woo. He's a professor and an author, which also makes him close to my heart because I love talking to authors. He's a very, very gifted energy healer, mindfulness coach, and a spirituality guru. Doran Shalev has felt called to a life of service. He provides distance healing energy through his website, and he does in person at events across Florida. And he and I are going to be at an event together on May 10th in Cocoa Village. I'm excited about that. He's going to be probably on the other side of the building, but I'll be there. He'll be there. We'll just wave across the hall. But his approach that he created combines ancient Jewish traditions with modern energy healing modalities. And he always tells people that you don't need to be Jewish. You don't even need to be religious to receive a healing session. He specializes in balancing chakras with crystal healing methods and providing clairvoyant chakra readings with guidance and assistance from the Archangel Raphael. And Raphael is one of my favorites. And Doran is one of my favorites, too, because he's actually going to be working with Leslie Hoffman and me later in the third week of May at a women's retreat that we're doing. He's going to come help us balance chakras and send the ladies off after a full weekend of today we're here to talk about angels and Judaism and whatever else comes up. I don't ever know because the show takes on a life of its own. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. And I didn't know you were going to be the show in May, so I'm very excited for that. And I definitely can't wait for the retreat. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I just found out about the retreat. Well, I heard about the retreat right before my husband and I went to Texas a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And you know how it is when you leave town for a day. Well, we left for a week and we drove.
Right.
We didn't fly. We drove to Texas. So we were on the road for hours. Hours.
Right.
So when I got home, I just kind of vegged out for a day or two. And then yesterday, Leslie said, oh, I saw this on Doran's page. I forgot. And you never responded. I sent you an email about this. I'm like, oh, duh. So I found out last night that there is still space and I just need to reserve it. That's going to be what I do right after I get off the show today. And
that's
why I'm going to be
when
there.
When I came across that post yesterday, I almost didn't share it. I saw it and I'm like, oh, I'm already registered for this. But then, you know, they said there was still spots available and something said, hit share on that. And so I did. And this must be why.
I love that. That's
right.
You listening to your intuition. And see, this is something the angels have taught me is there's a difference between our memory, our imagination, and our intuition. And
indeed.
Sometimes the intuition, it feels like our independent thought, which, I mean, we're capable of that as well. But there are moments where you're like, nah, I'm not doing that. And then next thing you know, your finger's pushing the button to do whatever it was you weren't going to do. And
that's essentially what this was.
Yeah. it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind how this works.
Yep. Yeah. And so as you know, in Judaism, you know, with angels, the word angel in Hebrew kind of means emissary or messenger. And so that's where we get the idea of angels being messengers. But it goes a little deeper than that in the Kabbalah, and that angels are actually kind of like nature's force carriers. You know, they manifest God's will and sustains God's creation. So in a way, that was, in fact, probably just a little angel that, you know, literally used nature's force to put my hand there and do that without me even knowing it. Very possible.
Absolutely. I believe that. And everybody doesn't know this, but I'm surprised because I talk about it all the time. I published 3 books last year in 1 year, and I'd never published a book for myself before. And
yeah,
I say that the last two, they were all 3 books about angels. The last two, mm-hmm. I say, were inspired. And the third one, especially, which is like a journal and introduction to the angels, I mm-hmm. really feel like God used me as an instrument. And, you know, if you're in the physical world, you're a human, you can touch things, you can write, you can hit the keyboard, mm-hmm. you can pick up a telephone. But the spirit entities can't do that. Casper the Friendly
right.
Ghost can go through a wall, but if I try to walk mm-hmm. through a wall, I'm going to come out with a bloody nose.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like we work in tandem, and the whole purpose is to educate more humans to be able to become enlightened. And I think one of my favorite stories, and this is, was not something I was taught as a Catholic growing up. I didn't know about mm-hmm. all of the angels that I now know about, because we were, mm-hmm. you know, we were taught, you know, Michael the Archangel, Gabriel, maybe Raphael, a couple of others possibly, but the two
sure.
that really strike a chord in me, I learned about, and they are from the Jewish tradition, Sandalphon mm-hmm. and Metatron.
Ah, yes.
They were twin brothers on earth. And one of their purposes, as I understand it, you know, because they were, I believe they were not, they didn't die. They just were taken up to heaven as humans. I know that Sandalphon was Elijah, but I don't remember what Metatron's name was.
Okay.
But my understanding is that their main job among all the other jobs, they're like, you know, the humans that are, you know, you're a chemist, you're a professor, you're an author, you're a healer, and you're a little bit woo-woo, and, you know, so you've got mm-hmm. 5 or 6 titles, and these angels have jobs too. So
right.
my understanding is that these two in particular, their job is to teach us how to be human, but also to be spiritual.
That's fascinating. Yeah, because it's interesting, you know, we call angels messengers, and in fact we have to remember that the messages go two ways. And so, you know, we've been talking about God, you know, using angels kind of to send messages to humans, and that's how we can receive inspiration from God. They act as kind of like medium between the two there, but also like our prayers go to God through angels. And so angels are intimately connected to us. You know, they're constantly around us, they're constantly connecting us to that other side. And you're right, they all have different purposes and whatnot. And so
yeah.
these two, having been human before and probably the only two humans ever that have become angels, because typically it's one of those misconceptions, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, oh, you know, mommy's an angel in heaven now. And that's actually incorrect, because humans don't become angels.
Exactly.
They can't. Angels are, you know, created by, well, actually we get into angel creation here a little later on, but there's two types of ways to create angels: by God, and we actually create angels too, but that's a different story. But yeah, so it's fascinating that God used these two people to turn them into angels to act as specifically for spiritual guides here, to bring us, to connect us directly to the higher source. And so it's amazing how these angels can work, because another attribute about them is that they're completely beyond human comprehension. And so you already have to be of a very high consciousness to be able to perceive them and interact with them in all of this. And even that interaction is so basic that it's impossible to put into words exactly what you are experiencing when you experience an angel, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, and I almost repeated myself. It just makes perfect sense because, you know, sometimes I think they make me repeat myself if there's a point that is more important, because I try to speak eloquently. I try to enunciate and speak concisely, although everybody who knows me knows that I am a chatterbox and I get off on tangents. And as my friend says, I go around the barn 3 or 4 times before I go through the door. But that's okay, because sometimes I have to do these things to get my point across, or not even my point. It's not, you know, since I started working with the angels, I've worked with them all my life, but I haven't been mindful about it. And now that I'm more mindful, which I know is one of your favorite things to be, it really has taken on a new focus for me.
Nice. And actually, going back to something you just said, you know, how you sometimes feel like you're repeating yourself to get a point across, and, you know, it's the angels that are doing it as well. And that's actually based in science. You know, so they tell us as teachers, as instructors, that if we have a very important point that we need the students to remember, we need to repeat it to them at least 3 times. You know, not obviously not in a row, but like within one lecture, you want to make that same point 3 separate times and tie it into your lecture. And so in effect, that's what the angels are doing with you, I think, is, you know, they have this point to get across. So you have to get across 3 to 5 different, subtly different ways to fully grasp the full comprehension, the full meaning behind what they're trying to get across. Because like we just said, interacting with them is really beyond human comprehension. And so I think you trying to repeat this message is just a way trying to get it to be accessible to as many people as possible. Just like a teacher does.
Exactly. And I know that as a teacher, you try not to just say, chemistry is fun, chemistry is fun, chemistry is fun. You find ways to say it differently. But I remember Leslie has told me many times that if she doesn't listen when Spirit talks, I think she calls them her angel crew, but she says, if I don't listen when they speak, there's hell to pay at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, what? She said, oh, they will wake me up and nag me. And, and I've often said that it's like a gentle reminder that gets less and less gentle. And yesterday I had one of those experiences. I was meditating. And I know that I told you when we met a couple days ago that I've been working very closely with Metatron, not because I sought him out, but he sought me out. And that really humbles me, because he's one of the more powerful angels. And just the fact that any angel goes, hey, knock, 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 tap, tap, I'm here. I want to talk with you. Will you let me come in? Is mind-boggling. But he's been working with me on a visual project. Yesterday I was meditating, or I might have been napping, I can't remember. I kind of get those two confused. But I was resting, and had my eyes closed, and I had an image in my head. And it was one of those kind of confusing images where I'm not sure what that meant. And then I realized, oh, that was a message from Metatron. I've got to write this down. And so I wrote down what I remembered, but I didn't write down the entire message. And I knew that it was almost like she said to tell him to go out the door. And so I wrote down, go out the door. And then I closed my eyes again and took about 3 deep breaths, and I heard, she said to tell him. She said to tell him. She said to tell him.
Mm.
And I'm like, all right, I'll write that down too.
Right, right.
You know, so I've often said that I need a 2x4 upside my head to get my attention
right.
when the angels speak. And it's because they speak so quietly. They speak
yep.
so encoded. But the reason for that is because if they spoke like you and I are speaking right now, we do have a caller I'm going to bring in a few minutes, and we'll hear that caller's voice. But if angels and other entities spoke to us that way, it would just be competing with all the other noise every day, every day.
It would, and I actually never thought of it that way. But, yeah, it is fascinating how once you've trained your mind, you can distinguish between what's your imagination, what's your past, and what's actually
yes.
a message like this. But like you said, sometimes, though, they have to beat it across your head before you realize it is the message that they want you to give.
Let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever walked into a room, like a family reunion or maybe even a noisy classroom or seminar or something, and there's just so much noise going on that you kind of feel like, well, I need to yell to get somebody's attention. But
nobody can hear you or
understand you. But if you walk over to the person whose attention you want, and maybe tap them or put your hand on their shoulder softly and say, hey, did you hear that there's cookies in the break room?
Right.
You know, they're going to hear you. They're going to understand you. But if you're yelling, mm-hmm. there's cookies in the break room, over all the other noise, it doesn't get in.
Sure.
And
yep.
Because I know I've done this before. What? Excuse me? What?
Yep.
I didn't understand you. What did you say? So if you bring it down... And that's what the angels are doing. What they have to say is so important to us that they whisper lighter than air almost. But yet you can hear it if you're tuned into it.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But yes, I've had those experiences before without a doubt, both, you know, physical with students, with, you know, other types of seminars and things like that, but also with, I guess it would be communication with angels, because as I said, in Judaism, we don't really believe our prayers are sent directly to God. We believe that the angels send them to God as in kind of like encodes them so God can understand what our intentions are. And
they
so
translate.
I guess the response also comes back through the angels.
Well, you know, as I grew up as a Catholic, we were taught that there were like different layers of prayers that we could do. And the priest could talk to God, but the people couldn't.
Mm.
And we were, you know, but then of course in the, you know, there's the Lord's Prayer where you can talk directly to our Father who art in heaven, blah, blah, blah. And there are certain people who say you can talk to this one, but you can't talk to that one. And I actually had a priest one time. I was having visions way back. And I had one priest, when I went to him and I told him about them, he goes, wow, let's talk about this. Let's see what we can understand about this. And then he moved away and another priest came in, and I thought I could just pick up the gauntlet and go continue with my conversation. And he just looked at me patronizingly and he said, oh, Mary, you're not really having visions. You're imagining. I'm like, but how do you know that it's my imagination? He said, because look where you live. You couldn't possibly be having visions. Only people in Lourdes or Guadalupe or Medjugorje have visions. I'm like, but they're just people too. They're not.
Right.
You know, The most of the people who we've been taught have visions and proclamations or whatever, those are the people that were the lowest of the low. So what makes you think I'm not low enough?
Right.
So that was kind of my break with the Catholic Church. I said, you know what, if the leaders aren't leading the people and helping, I think I'll just figure this out on my own.
Yeah, and it boils down to the difference between religion and spirituality. A lot of people see that the point of religion is to set rules to live by, and it's like, you do this, you do that, you don't do this, you don't do that. But those aren't rules to live by. Those are guidelines to help us lead a more spiritually inclined life. So it's not a list of you can't and you don't do this, do this. It's rather, well, you should do this, or maybe, let's put this in perspective. Sometimes this is okay, sometimes it's not. You have to look beyond the actual words and understand them within a spiritual context. And so a lot of religious people lose that. They think it's just a list of rules. And if they follow these rules, they'll have some type of reward afterwards, whatever that may be. But that's not the point of religion, and that's where religion goes wrong. And so I'm a very religious person, but I use religion as a framework for my spirituality, not as like my religion's the right one, the only one, and I have to follow these rules, and damn you if you don't.
Yeah, that's good.
Unfortunately, you've had experience with a lot of religious people and not with a lot of spiritual people. At least your first priest there sounded very spiritual. And so that's nice that you had that introduction there to at least foster your visions there for a while until this other jerk came along, so to speak.
Exactly, because if it had been the reverse, I probably wouldn't have told the spiritual guy anything. I would have, and in fact, that's my situation with singing. I've heard recently, a lot of times recently, that the birds wake up singing, and we should too, because that's how we praise our creator. But I was told when I was 12 years old that I sounded like a bullfrog with laryngitis.
Oh.
And so I clammed up.
Yeah.
And then a little, as I got older, someone said, well, why don't you join the church choir? And I'm like, oh, I could try that. And the choir master said, why don't you try lip syncing? Well, the problem is I was never trained how to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the louder you sang, the better it was. Well, I've learned that you don't have to project your voice so much. And I'm still kind of timid about singing when anyone else is around, but you get me in the car with the right person on a good road trip, the songs are coming out.
Nice.
Whether you like them or not.
Right.
But I think that's one reason why I became a writer, because nobody can tell me that I'm not doing it right.
Sure. That makes sense. So you said we had a caller?
We do. I was just going to ask you, would you like to bring our caller in and see who it is?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Hello there.
Hi. I
what
was
is
just
your
listening.
Name?
I don't know. Are you doing readings or no? You just got the angels, right? And you give them.
I did not understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't press the button, so I was just listening.
Okay.
But
that's
fine. If you're doing angel readings, I wouldn't mind having it.
No, well, we're just talking about angels today.
Yeah.
Right. What is your name?
Oh, Randy.
Randy, where are you calling from?
From Colorado.
Excellent. I like to know where our callers come from.
Randy didn't have any questions or anything, but she. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't give angel readings. And so one thing with Judaism and angels is that we're taught to kind of not mingle with the angels too much. Like, you might be able to go to one of the archangels in a crisis and try to contact them and ask them to intercede on your behalf with God, for example. But we're told not to interact with them because their power is very powerful, and it's also very literal. And so it's very easy to misuse and abuse angelic power, even with the best intentions. And so because of that, I purposely don't do like angelic readings and things like that, unfortunately.
Well,
so I do know some people that do, and they are wonderful.
I am Jewish. I'm Jewish, so that wasn't – I never knew that. So that's really interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all from the Kabbalah. And so all of our – most of our angelic teachings come from that. And so it's very mysterious, and there's – you know, it's very deeply hidden, and there's a lot of deep aspects to the angelic kingdom within the Kabbalah.
Interesting. Cool.
And,
you
know, I'm just the opposite, and it's not because
right?
of my not because of my Catholicism background. It's just because of the way I am. And Doran, you know this from knowing me on a personal level. I tend to be like I'm like that cartoon with the two little dogs or the little tiny chihuahua chasing after the bulldog. Spike is my friend. The other one. This is my friend. I'm going to call him George. I'm going to love him and squeeze him and get him all over. That's my personality. And I cannot tone it down. And I've been told I shouldn't tone it down.
Uh-huh.
But I tend to embrace the angels the same way I do humans. It's you. Oh, my heavens. It's you. It's really you. I can't believe you. You know, this blue streak of light, that's Michael. This blue, purple and pink one, that's Metatron. The green one is Uriel. Oh, my heavens. Jophiel just came through with yellow light. And I'm like, let's have a party.
Yep. And that's the thing, too, with, you know, Kabbalah. Again, it's religion versus spirituality. So the religion says, no, don't contact angels, you know, because it could lead to bad things. But if you look at that law from a spiritual perspective, it's more like, well, you shouldn't interact with angels unless you're very careful about it, and these are the reasons why. And so
exactly.
It's not that we can't do that from a Jewish perspective. It's more like we have to just approach it with extreme caution. And so
And then mindfulness. You've got to be
mindful
of who you are talking with and what the potential is.
Yes. And, you know, so I do sometimes interact with the four archangels, especially Raphael, if I have a very tricky healing that I'm not able to figure out a method to use on my own. I'll ask Raphael to intercede or to access the same healing energy that God sends through me. I ask that same energy to be channeled through Raphael and that he'll work with me on this person. If I'm looking for insight and I just can't get any insight, my brain just isn't talking, I'm not getting any message or anything, that's when you can talk to Uriel. Uriel is kind of like gives God's knowledge and all of that. And so if you just feel like God's not speaking to you, ask Uriel to intercede then. And then if you feel like you're being attacked, personally, like because you're Jewish especially or just for any other aspect, that's when you can ask Gabrielle to step. And then Michael is actually just the guardian of the Jewish nation. And so anytime I feel like I need to pray for Israel or something like that, I'll ask Michael to also step in and pray with me. So those are the only four angels I personally use. I only do it under those very specific situations there. Because those angels are that's their main mission. We talked about how each angel has like a specific assignment. Those are kind of like the main ones for these four angels specifically.
Absolutely. And, you know, each one has an assignment, a mission, as you said, and they will work with us. They kind of like squeeze us in whenever they've got time, but they do have certain things that they do. And we have to be respectful of that and not,
definitely.
Overstep the boundaries and you know, we were talking earlier about how they nag us. You know, if you don't listen, they'll keep reminding you, giving you these words, do this, write that down. For me, it's like, you know, call your Aunt Sally. Well, I don't want to call her. She's old. I don't want to call her. I don't know what to say. Call your Aunt Sally. And then, when you don't, then your sister calls and says, hey, Aunt Sally just died, and she was asking about you. What? So you have to follow those intuitions, those little messages, the little nagging.
It's funny you brought that up because in my meditation earlier today, I got just the name Lucy, and I don't know a Lucy in my life. I don't know, maybe our reader or our call-in person knows a Lucy, and maybe they're supposed to call Lucy. I don't know. Maybe that's the message
no, but she's
the
on
caller
the...
is supposed to get there. But so she can consider that. Also, for our caller there, since I don't do angel readings, what I recommend for her to do is just sit for a few minutes in quiet meditation with Uriel and ask Uriel to please give insight into the question she has in her life, or if she doesn't have a specific question, just any type of message going forward that she may need. But if Lucy means something to her, then maybe that's why I got the name Lucy earlier. Or maybe any of our other listeners, if any of our other listeners, if that means anything to you, I did get the name Lucy earlier. I don't know why.
I actually do know a Lucy, but she has crossed over. Mm. And it's possible that she's just trying to reach out to me. So I'll meditate on that a little later on and see what happens.
I usually don't get these messages. When I do, though, my mind will be completely blank, and then a word or two will just pop in my head. And it'll be quite, actually, you say it's like a whisper. To me, it's almost like they're screaming at me because I'm so dense and stubborn. It's like they don't even want to do be gradual with me, or, you know, they just like, all right, you're stubborn, just boom. And then they leave me alone usually. And so this is just boom. I was nothing, Lucy, and then nothing again. I was like, oh, okay, I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, Leslie says they come at her.
And I usually don't get messages, so.
They come at her pretty hard and fast and loud sometimes.
Yeah.
For me, it's like subtlety. And I think part of that may be because I'm not a subtle person. Maybe they think that, well, let's go with something that she's not accustomed to. If they were in my face with it, I might just brush it off.
That's funny because I'm the opposite. I tend to be a lot more subtle, and then they treat me just like boom in my face.
That was how I made that connection, because I know you're very soft spoken and you're subtle and very laid back. And me, I see you across the room. I'm charging over there for my hug. And you would think that I was Taurus because of my behavior, but I'm Aquarius. So I don't know. I just love people, and I love certain people. Mm-hmm. And if I love you, by God, I'm going to love you hard.
Awesome.
Our caller has disconnected. So it's just the two of us now, and that's fine.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I thought that could be fun to bring up that a lot of people don't realize about the Jewish perspective on angels is that we actually believe that there's an angel hierarchy, and that's very complex with like 10 different levels of angels, starting with the archangels, so on and so forth. But with the regular angels, there's actually two different types. You know, there's a type that's created by God, like the angel of death, Michael, Gabriel, all these ones.
Right.
But there's also angels that we create as humans. And so according to Jewish tradition, each mitzvah we do, which a mitzvah is a commandment, something we're commanded by God to do, like eating matzah during Passover, like right now. Every time we do a positive mitzvah, we create a good angel. And anytime we do something bad, we create a bad angel. And these angels, they attach to us almost like parasites. And, of course, you want to have more good angels than bad angels around you. And these angels, though, aren't like the angels like we typically think of them. They're more like spiritual charges, like positive and negative. And so the more positive you have, the more of a shield of protection you have. And so this is kind of the Jewish aspect of a guardian angel, is building up essentially this good karma. And that's one way you can think of it, as having like a good karma angel and a bad karma angel. And the more good you have, the more good karma will come your way. And so, you can convert your bad angels into good angels through repentance. And so you can repent either by doing some act or simply being very sorry, trying not to repeat that offense, you know, things like that. And so the more of these positive angels you have around you, of course, like I said, they're like a guardian angel. They protect you. But you also, in turn, become a more positive force within the universe. And so in Judaism, we kind of create our own guardian angels this way. But, you know, there's also traditions where we have guardian angels assigned to us from God as well. And so we do have both in Judaism, but I thought that would be an interesting little tidbit that your listeners might not know about.
Yeah, I like that. I never thought of it that way, but I like the concept and the idea behind it, because it really makes sense. And I think that's why sometimes, you know, some of the older fundamental people will say the spirit knows the spirit. And I believe mm-hmm. that, you know, that's why you and I get along so well. But
yep.
I think, you know, the fact that our angels may know each other. And so
right. uh-huh.
you see all the good angels on one side and all the bad angels on the other side. And it's like, okay, well, this guy's got more bad than good. I think I'm going to steer away from him. And
exactly.
we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes unless we do a little studying and thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I like about this concept is it reminds us that in a world full of all of these hundreds of thousands of different religions, they all have essentially the same concepts. They just use different language. So here we're talking about angels, but I brought in the word karma from Hindu and Buddhist type of perspectives there. And
right.
so we all have these same concepts. We just use different terminology for it. And I think if more people realize that, you know, religion isn't supposed to be mine is right, yours is wrong, but it's supposed to be, hey, this is the framework I use to get to the same place you're going. And the similarity between them, all these same different concepts, I think just gives proof and evidence to support that it's all the same thing. God just shows himself, themselves, herself, whatever, to people in different ways and different times and different traditions. And we use whichever one jives with our soul to commune with the creation.
You know, then you were saying,
I kind of liked about that. Yeah.
When you were saying God shows himself, herself, themselves, I thought ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
Because we are all connected. And I just got a text mm-hmm. from Leslie. She said,
yeah.
thank you for saying that humans do not become angels.
Ah, yes. You're very welcome. Yes, I think it's an important thing to say. Because a lot of people do think that. And we want to keep them separate because angels are very special. And I think when we try to humanize them like that, I mean, it's cute. I mean, I have nothing wrong with those cute little angel statues and all of that. But I think it's just important to remember that. They
it
are
is.
Separate.
And I mean, I know a lot of people, if they have a child that was stillborn, they'll say he was born an mm-hmm. angel. Well,
yeah.
he wasn't. He was born human. And for whatever
yep.
reason, did not stay long. He stayed
yep,
long enough
was,
to be born.
Yep, and in Kabbalah, it was his soul chose that before he was even born. He knew he was going to come stillborn or only live a day or two. But
yep.
it was part of his mission, and he, in a way, he incarnation for the betterment of the mother and father's soul. So the mother and
yes.
father have some sort of tikkun, some sort of repair that they need for their souls in this lifetime, and that child sacrificed themselves because that sacrifice was necessary for them to heal their souls in this lifetime. And even though it hurts, I think it's a beautiful way to think about that. And so I know that's one of the hardest things and most horrible things that could ever happen is to lose a child or any loved one. But any of those out there that recently lost a child or loved one, if you put it in that perspective, they chose this before this lifetime, and they did it for their love of you.
I agree. And, you know, I actually have a grandson who lived 20 minutes after he was physically born. And then I have his brother came along and he said to me one day, he said, Grand Mary, I think Jacob had to die so that I could be born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, well, why would you say that? He said, because I think if my parents had had Jacob, they wouldn't have
mm-hmm.
had another child. I was, you know, they only wanted
yep.
one. I'm like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He was young. He was about 9 when he said that.
Wow. Yeah, children have a very sharp sense of intuition that we lose as we get older. What happens, I think, is our hormones kick in around puberty, and we go from beings that are close to spiritual perfection to these humanistic animal-type needs that we have to fulfill in order to propagate the species and all of that. So we can't be the pure, innocent children anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but they are very close.
I do my best.
Oh, yeah, we all do. We all do. That's part of our struggle, though. I think we need
to have that
because if not, it'd be too easy. And so the struggle is what makes our souls grow.
Yeah, and some people have to struggle harder than others. And
that's because they've have a lot more baggage from previous lives that have built up in those areas.
I know some people that are struggling, and it's hard, but it's hard for me to sit back and watch. And I used to take on a lot of their struggle. You know, I didn't even realize it, but this is where mindfulness comes in. I can't tell you how many times I'd say, "Oh, I feel so bad for her. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, this just makes me sick." And what happens is it literally does. And when you start being mindful, you learn to say things like, "I'm here to listen. I'll be happy to help if I can. How can I help you?" Don't take on that extra baggage. You don't need it. You got enough of your own.
Exactly. And those are times where I stop and remind myself that they chose these challenges for themselves before they were even incarnated into this life. And so we have chosen these challenges for ourselves. And if we take ownership of that, I think that helps us get through the challenges. Like instead of, "God, why are you doing this to me?" you go, "Boy, why did I choose this for myself? What do I have to learn from this?" If we change that perspective, I think that's one of the most important keys to spiritual development. Stop blaming God and start seeing what you can do to help yourself.
I reframed one of the words that I used to use a lot. You know, this is an obstacle. What is this rock doing in my way? So now instead of kicking the rock and breaking my toes, I say, "Oh, look, this is an opportunity for me. What is this opportunity going to teach me?" Well, number one, stop kicking. And number two, walk around or climb over.
Yeah. Or transform it into a beautiful sculpture.
Or sit on it and take a break.
Yep, exactly. There's a lot of things we can do when an opportunity comes across our path. I love that. I usually say challenge, but I like opportunity better. I think I'm going to start changing that to opportunity.
You're very welcome. I thought of them as challenges too for many, many years because, you know, if there's a mountain in my way, well, I guess I need to get a shovel and start digging it up so I can move it. Well, that's exhausting.
It sure is.
And so then I started thinking, this is an opportunity for me to look at this differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the messages that I got in meditation many, many years ago. And it's changed my total outlook on life. I still have my moments of humanity where I get a little down. And in fact, a couple of days ago, I took on some of our friend Jennifer's angst and pain. And I took me about 4 hours to get out of my own way and realize that I needed to do something besides feel sorry for her, because all that did was make me feel sorry for myself. And the more I prayed for her situation, the deeper in the hole I got, because I kept empathing. You know, I just kept sucking it in for whatever reason. And then I remember I just sat down on the couch And I said, Raphael, I know I've been asking you to help Jennifer. Would you please help me instead or two?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
within that moment, I had an idea. And that's how mm-hmm. Raphael works. You know, sometimes he'll
yep.
give you an idea. And so instead of wishing and hoping that things would be better, I took matters into my own hand and I went and bought a bunch of plants, flowering plants, and I created myself what I call a peace prayer garden. And
nice.
I just planted
That's
all these
beautiful.
Flowers. And that was a divine inspiration because now my yard
mm-hmm.
looks prettier. People passing
yep.
by will see it and go, oh, look at the flowers, because they're all very
yep.
vivid colors. And
nice.
I took a few pictures. I sent them to my friend, and she said, thank you for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if she would respond that way or not. But it was
right.
just one of those things I felt like I had to do. And so that's how, to me, the angels respond when I ask for help. They give
mm-hmm.
me usually pretty quickly an answer of how I can help myself.
Very good. Very nice. That's beautiful. And so hopefully our callers here, the listeners here, will take that advice. And like we said, if anyone really needs a message from one of the angels today, just take 10 minutes today over lunch or something and calm your mind and ask Uriel to send you a message. Keep your mind as clear as you can. If random thoughts come in, just dismiss them. But if it's you'll know, at least to me, it's very clear when it's a random thought coming in and when it's a message, because the message comes from nowhere. Whereas a random thought,
yes.
I can tell it's coming from me. I'm generating that thought. And usually my mind will be completely blank, and then this thought will just pop into my mind out of nowhere and just as quickly pop away. And so like you said, it's very instant. It's a very direct message usually.
Yeah. If it's my thought, it tends to be about my life. Oh, my car insurance is due next week.
Yeah.
What am I going to have for dinner? Shouldn't I go be writing another book? Oh, Be Unique probably needs something. You know, it's like a thought of an action
mm-hmm.
I need to be taking about my personal, physical, human life. But when it's a message
yep.
from the angels, it tends to be more, calm down, slow down, go plant flowers, take a deep
mm-hmm.
breath, sit a while with me.
Yep.
That's been a recurring one, just sit a while and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one for a type A personality.
I can barely do it for 2 minutes, but I try.
And you know what? Time means nothing.
Because, that's very true too.
You know, the spirit world doesn't keep score of how many seconds are happening. How long has it
mm-hmm.
been since I've been meditating? I find sometimes I can accomplish more on a spiritual level in 5 minutes than I can on a human level in 5 weeks.
Oh, certainly. That's why in my Just a Minute program, I recommend one of my minutes is meditate. So if you have a free minute, you're waiting in line at the grocery store or something, meditate. It may only be 30
yes.
seconds or 60 seconds, but that's important because you're training your mind how to be quiet and how to just be in that moment. And so
You go ahead. Go ahead. I tend to do that. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, just don't underestimate the amount of time we lose each day and try to maximize on that time for little things like being grateful or meditating or something along those lines.
I agree. I got a lesson from, I think it was our second or third MetaFest that we did at Merritt Square Mall.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those times that my back was out. My sciatica was just screaming at me, and I was suffering in pain. And I had to go to the ladies' room. There was no holding it any
yep.
longer. So I went to the ladies' room.
Hike.
It is. And on my way back, I was breathing. I was doing the childbirth deep breathing through the pain.
Wow.
This was before I learned how to dial down the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I was suffering and walking back very slowly and deliberately taking these long, deep breaths. And a man who I think was probably a kiosk store owner,
yep,
just he saw me and he goes, "Oh, walking meditation. I approve." And I said, "No, walking in pain." And then I thought about it.
Right.
From that moment on, I changed my perspective on my meditation.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, if you've got 60 seconds or 60 minutes waiting at the DMV, why not meditate? Why sit there and scroll through social media that means very little in the overall scheme
exactly
of things? When you can connect to so much potential just by shutting
exactly
down for a moment.
Yep. And that's how we get these messages that, you know, people need to hear. It's just by letting your brain shut down and listening. And it's one of the hardest things for us to learn how to do.
It is. My mother used to say, God gave you one mouth and two ears. That means you have to listen twice
like
as much as you talk.
Right? I love that.
These old folks,
that
they're
awesome,
full of wisdom. They
sure
amaze me.
Definitely, definitely.
Leslie is sending me messages. You know, Leslie could call and talk to us, but she won't because she's walking. She does her laps in her home.
Okay, yeah.
And she just said we both gave her an idea for her group's May challenge. So I guess you're welcome, Leslie.
All right, awesome. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of doing this show.
Yep.
I mean, to be honest, I don't have time to do things to try to do less, but I was inspired to do this show because I knew that it,
mm-hmm,
by bringing people like you on, we'd come up with these things. And if we can help Leslie, and maybe we helped whoever's listening that knows Lucy, and if Lucy's still,
yep,
alive, call Lucy.
Exactly. And if people are interested, we've been talking a lot about mindfulness here, so I'll just put a little plug here. I have a lot of free mindfulness resources on one of my websites called Living Minutes. There's a 3-week challenge you can take. It just takes a few minutes each day. And so all the resources there are completely free. It's not the best high-quality videos there, but, hey, for free it works. So I highly recommend checking that out if people are interested in learning how to live more mindfully.
Absolutely. And I know that your mindfulness, the first document that I clicked on was like, I needed to hear this. I needed to read this. So I want to repeat that, and I will have it in the show's description. Your website is livingminutes.com, right?
Correct. That's my mindfulness site.
Okay.
And then my regular site, it's actually DorinShalev.com, but I realize that's kind of difficult for people. So you can actually go to thejewishhealer.com or jewishhealer.com, and both of those will redirect you to my website. Makes it a little easier for people.
Well, I'm writing them all down, and people can choose the one they want. And what I'll do is I will make a live link to them as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
You are so very welcome. So we got about 5 minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we slip on out of here?
Let's see. I think we've kind of covered most of the things I wanted to say about angels. I just recommend that people do just be careful when using angels because they are very literal in what you ask for. Angels don't have free will. That's the main difference between, well, there's a couple differences between us and angels. Obviously, angels are non-physical beings. They're only spiritual beings. but they also don't have free will, meaning that they have to obey God, whereas we're given the choice whether we wish to follow God's commandments or not. And so the angels have to obey God's will. So if you ask something to them, they're going to take those requests very literally within their own requirements of following God's will. And so that's where it gets a little tricky with them. That's why, too, I think it's best if you are going to connect with angels, at least initially, to connect with one of the four archangels, because they
yes.
have a lot of experience connecting with humans. And they are the highest angels, and so they can kind of understand the nuances a bit more than some of the lower form angels that might not have the capability of seeing the gray between the black and white.
Absolutely. I agree 100% on that. And there are actually some angels like Raphael, who, and I think that's one of the reasons I love working with him, is he's a lot like me, kind of the
yeah.
attention seeker. Hey, I'm over here. Do you see me? Come
yeah.
on, look at me. and then there are others that are really shy and don't make themselves known so
uh-huh.
eagerly.
Real quick, also your third book, if anyone is really interested in want to get an angel outside the four archangels and know a little bit more about some of the other angels lower down on the hierarchy, get Mary's third book. That's can you talk about that book real quickly?
Yeah, it's called A Journey with Angels. That was the one that I say I didn't write it at all. I was
inspired.
The physical person who wrote it. But it was downloaded to me, and I would get these little messages, and I'd go research. And I did a lot of
uh-huh.
research into this book. It's basically a guide to 23 mm-hmm. angels. And it was so weird when I got to the 23rd angel. I had all this research, and I tell you the different things that they resonate with and how you can recognize them. I mean, for instance, it just slipped my mind.
hate when that happens.
Oh, yeah. And Leslie laughed. She said, you wrote the book on it, but I didn't. So I'm still learning all these symbols and things.
Right.
I'll go with Azrael because I know him very intimately right now for other really weird reasons. But Azrael is called the Angel of Death. And he's not the angel who brings death. He's the angel who brings us from the human life into the spirit world.
Exactly.
Because if you
yeah.
think about it, especially somebody, now we were talking earlier about infants, you know, if they're
mm-hmm.
born or die soon after birth, they haven't had a lot of time to adjust to being human, so they can just die and move on. But somebody
mm-hmm.
who lives to be like 90 years old, they've been a human
yeah.
all their life. And then
mm-hmm.
when they die, they're like, well, what now? So Azrael comes along and he says, let's review this. Let's go over how to get through and be a spirit now. But he also
yeah.
helps the living adjust and grieve. So
mm-hmm.
Azrael, just, I don't know, he's just such an amazing entity. When I was about to lose my cat, who was 20 years old, I called on Azrael to comfort
yeah.
the cat and help him transition, and also
mm-hmm.
to help me know if I needed to take him to the vet. That was my biggest
mm-hmm.
concern. Well, it turned out I didn't, because the cat died in his bed. And
mm-hmm.
Azrael was right there to comfort me. I could feel his presence.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so amazing.
Yeah.
Real quick, I have to tell you, Leslie texted me, I can take Lucy, a neighbor
uh-huh.
dog that passed and has been coming through lately.
Ah, okay. That makes sense, too, because my dog was lying next to me as I was meditating, and so maybe my dog helped me bring the spirit of Lucy through there.
That is so cool. I love how, you know,
fun.
Sometimes these messages come, and we don't know what to do with them, but just like when you shared that thing, you didn't have to tell us about Lucy today.
Yep, nope, not at all.
But you did, and we moved on. And the show is about to end. We've got about 10 seconds. So, Doran, yep. I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I will see you in a couple of weeks. Well, I'll see you in a couple of weeks in Cocoa Village, and then a little later in Cocoa Beach.
Yep, and then July at Metafest. A lot going on.
We're just kind of circling each other over and over, and I like it. And I think that I think this is because the angels know that we can help each other help others. You know, together we're working in a spiritual enlightenment service.
And that's what counts at the very end. Exactly.
Yeah. If we can
bring people closer to the source of creation.
The Literacy Council has a slogan called Each One, Teach One. And I think in the spiritual world, it's each one, reach one. You know, we can reach just one person through our shows or our communication or our being together. I mean, I know that whenever I see you physically, I feel like I'm glowing brighter than I would on my own. And it's like holding two candles. You know, one spiritual person by him or herself can do so much, but you put two or three or 30 together and you've got everybody holding that bright light, it's going to illuminate the world.
Yes.
And I think this is what we were put here for.
I agree. I think so too.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for the invite, and I had a lot of fun. I hope the listeners picked up some good stuff, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Go With Angels with Mary Brotherton. If you want to order a copy of Go With Angels, just reach out to mary@beunique.org for details. That's BUNEKE.org. And be sure to tune in every Friday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time for more stories about angelic encounters. Follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio so you don't miss a single episode.